Welcome back to another episode of Practical Spiritual Advice by Infinite You, which is me, which is you, which is we. And again, as usual, let's buckle up for another ride as I take you down memory lane. Now, in this episode, we're going way back, all right, where I'm like 11, maybe 10 years old, I think. Tops, it was 12 years old. And so I'm a young lad. Actually, you know what? Let's do this real quick, because if you're new to the podcast, going back to the beginning and kind of catching up here is going to do you some good. And if you have tuned in and you're riding along and you're here now, then let's dive right in. And again, as the practical spiritual advice comes through in the storytelling, we're going to reveal some secrets. I'm going to find out some more information about myself as I tell the stories. So we're going to talk about a spider being, and at this young age of anywhere from 10 to 12, I was living with my father and my younger sister. She's like 2.5 years old, younger than me, and we are in San Antonio, Texas. We are at the Lady Esther Apartments right off of Jackson Keller Road and McCullough. And so this is kind of close to the Almost Basin quarry area, where there has always been, you know, if you look into the history of San Antonio or Yanaguana, have been histories of our mysteries of paranormal, ET mystery school, werewolves, Bigfeets. You know, the whole nine yards, right? And this is taking place near this location in our bedroom. And I want to paint a picture here. My father, we lived in a one-bedroom apartment, the three of us. And my father had lung cancer, emphysema, and, you know, slept on the couch in the living room and had an oxygen tank on and a machine, you know, pretty much 24/7. And this was his life until he passed away when I turned 16. And so I used to fall asleep, you know, trying to listen that if he was still breathing, like one eye open as a child. And, you know, hoping that I wouldn't wake up to my father not being in the in his physical suit anymore, you know. And as a child, that's like, you're talking about death and your parent. And some very deep, you know, emotions and stuff that's going on. And so maybe that invites things in. I don't know. But I'll tell you what happened is this was in the middle of the afternoon. I think I'd come out of, okay, so let me paint this picture a little bit more. So he lives in the living room. It's his sleeping area. And me and my sister, we have twin beds on opposite sides of this pretty large bedroom. And right outside the room is this somewhat of like a little hallway. This apartment building was built in like the 60s or whatever. It's like reminds me of Three's Company. And all of the doors face in, and that's where the pool is for the apartments. And it's like a rectangular shaped apartment building. So all of us children, we all knew each other. We played in the pool and played in the field next to the apartments and, you know, in the creek in Almost Creek, which is across the street from us. And so there's this little hallway that has a sink in it right outside of the bedroom, and it connects to the dining room, which connects to the living room and like the kitchen, right? So, and the other side of where the sink is, that's where the to the left outside of the room is the bathroom, the toilet, the shower, right? And you close door, and that's separate from this sink in this hallway area right when you come out of your bedroom. And I must have come out of the bathroom or something, and I look into the bedroom, and I see, and it's got to be like 3 to 4 feet in its body, like length, and about 2.5 feet why, like, you know, as it's there, like this big tarantula looking spider in the top corner of the wall and the ceiling, and like above where I slept, and it had like a human face on it, like a human head. And I could see it as I can see, you know, you could see regular people around you, and it was real. And but I knew it wasn't there, and it was just this weird, like, I mean, what that caused me to do was drop down into almost the fetal position in between in this like hallway where the sink was, of the bedroom and this dining room, which you could see the living room. So my father's on the other end watching TV, and I have a feeling like this thing wants to harm him, my sister, like my family. It wants to tear us apart. It wants to hurt somebody, kill them or whatever. And so I've got this very distressed feeling, but I can't tell anybody about it because that's fucking crazy. It's not a 4 foot long, like, spider being with a human head on it. So I don't know if this happened twice. Obviously I know it happened once, but I can't remember. I vaguely remember it happening again. And, you know, I do the same thing, the fetal position. I'm crying and I'm in despair and hopelessness. And, you know, I never really told anybody about that experience because it only lasted maybe, I mean, it seemed like an eternity, at least a few minutes, but it probably was like 10 to 30 seconds of this intense emotional experience with this paranormal spider human head being that I don't remember it moving. I don't remember it looking at me. I just remember it being there and not knowing where to go and what to do until it like disappeared. And so if we fast forward to, oh, let's see, Autumn must have been about 2 or 3 years old. So this must have been about 2017 or so. And I have a YouTube video that I posted not too long after this experience, but, you know, I was giving her a bath, and when I was drying her, she looked over towards the shower curtain and said something about, oh, look, Daddy, said Spider-Man or spider, you know, something. And I'm like, there's no Spider-Man. And I'm like, and she's pointing up to the ceiling. And then, I don't know, it was weird. She looked back at the wall and was like, oh, there it is. And I started like, whoa, is this that thing coming back? And no, my child can't see you. And I started speaking light language and like, where is it at? I'm going to shoot light at it. And when I did that, she had a response. And, you know, this is my YouTube video has more details because it's getting foggy now because there's a bigger story that happens later that brings this full circle. But after I say this light language and, you know, shoot a beam of light at it or whatever, you know, I decided to do, I think she laughed and like her energy like lightened up. And I said, well, what did it do when Daddy did that? And she said that it got scared or something and it went away. And I'm like, wow, okay. And so that's what my video is about. And so if we fast forward to, I mean, this must have been 2020, 2021. I'm now friends with Romy Nava, the modern mystic here in San Antonio, a dear friend of mine. We were together at the CE5 meditation in Kerrville. So we've experienced some things and we've worked together. And so anyway, he's been practicing QHHT hypnosis, the Dolores Cannon method where you take someone back into past lives and stuff like that. And so, you know, he was practicing on me and, you know, I didn't go completely under, but I was taken to memories of mine and it took me back to that experience with the spider. And, you know, now I'm in this larger energy field of awareness and tapping into who I am and what I am and not being scared of anything like that. I got closer to it. And I brought it down from the ceiling and the wall in the corner where it was at to the bed. And I saw it there and I got this feeling of, you know, that it was this like entity that had been portaled in to scare me at that time, almost like if you imagine Monsters, Inc. And so these beings are being created in a lab, and they're sent out through doorways to scare children and siphon that prana, that adrenaline that's pumping. And it doesn't have to come out of the physical form of children and just beings in general. It comes out in an energetic form. And so whether I was being siphoned of that or not, you know, this is where I was going with this thing during this hypnosis, was diving into this notion of this being, this entity was sent to me to try and scare me, but also tapping into it in a way that, so here we're going to get into a couple perspectives in this, right? So one is, it's, you know, being created like a lot of other beings against its will. It's almost like some of these horror, gory films from the 80s that, you know, you've got mad scientists like kidnapping humans and like splicing their parts together. And then you got this being that's like coming out like The Fly, where it's like, I didn't want to be created, but I'm half human, half fly, or I'm half this and that. And like, just kill me, please. I'm suffering. I got that notion from some of these beings, and this one, because it was created in whatever facility or multidimensional, like, you know, quantum space and the dream space or whatever it is, like a collective thing that we've all created ourselves. You know, when you really want to dive into this, we're programmed to put these things into our experience because, you know, we watch these films and these things, and maybe that's where I got this from. Who knows, right? Like, it's a mixture. Monsters, Inc., by the way, when I had this experience, wasn't even a movie at that time. You know, I was born in 1977. So when I'm like 12 years old, it's like early 1990s. And wait, is that right? Like 1990 and shit. I don't even remember. Wow, so crazy. Yeah, like late 80s, 90. So, I mean, a lot of this stuff isn't out yet. Like, I'm still walking up to the TV and hitting a box to change the channel or whatever. And so anyway, just to give you a Monsters, Inc. wasn't a thing. So, you know, we tap into, okay, some of these things are being created because we're being programmed with them. And collectively, we put this notion that that's a thing. And what we're really offering ourselves is something that I'm going to put another perspective into, is a way to heal that energy. Like, we offer ourselves up some type of a, you know, at the time it looks like incoherency. Like, I didn't know what was going on. It freaked me out. It shook my energy body, my emotional body, my awareness into knowing that there are things that exist outside the physical plane, and I've seen them with my own eyes, into a space of being the higher self of where I am now. I am the future person from my childhood self, you know, here in the now, within this entire 3D, 4D, 5D, whatever dimension. You know, I'm a multidimensional being, so I'm looking at this from multiple perspectives. And, you know, we can hold that multidimensionality here through our frame of awareness now. And this is what gets us into this place of being the creator and not just being a programmed being, but knowing that you programmed it in the beginning. It's crazy. It's a whole full circle thing. So anyway, as we dive into knowing or taking on the awareness that maybe some of these beings weren't created like of their own choosing, then some of them are sitting in a space of, like, you know, misery and stuff. And so I was able to emotionally, through my awareness and the memory, tap into that being that was tapped into all the other beings that went through portals to scare children. And so now I'm there with all these other beings, and, you know, I'm putting that state of awareness into all the children that had this experience, and bringing my collective awareness of, like, oh, that was just something that we can dive back into as the higher self to heal that thing that we created for ourselves. Whew, I hope you're rolling with me on this. All right. So let's do that again. Let's run that mindset one more time. These beings are created out of wanting to siphon energy from us, but they're also our tap in to heal that experience, not just for ourselves, for all participants, because we have a memory. We have a thing that we can tap into it through our own awareness and psyche, our own coherent, like we can put a story on it that makes sense for you. This is what I'm doing, right? As the creator of stories, you can dive back into your own self and rewrite things. You can put the ending on it, right? The conclusion, you know? And so that's what happened for me with this experience and the hypnosis, was being able to tap into all the experiencers that may have, or even may have not, experienced this, but being able to affect them away in a way that assists who they are here and now in a state of awareness, that now when I jack back into my aware waking dream state that I'm communicating with you through now, it is a resonant tone that takes the memories and closes the loop, causes the harmonic wave that sends it from the center of your heart, your diamond heart, in through the holographic matrix that is the aware state of you, the future self, here and now. And as you have the awareness of the future you that's going to get more information, being able to tap into you now, you can close the loop on your future self and your past self in the here and the now, knowing that you are all of it. So I hope that was fun. That was like a nice little ride to travel down. And so, you know, it's intention and it's breath and it's movement. Because as I tell my stories, I'm exhaling all of the breath from my diaphragm, from my experiences with the thought coherence and my heart space wrapped into this digital mind frame in a quantum way that you are hearing the vibrations from whatever speakers, whatever device is pumping that out for you. And then you take another deep breath and we do it all over again, and we expel frequencies and codes through the breath, through the speakers, which are quantumly affected through sound waves, which translate information, data in a light source, in a vibration, in a frequency that brings an awareness that has something tied to your own experience that makes sense for you, closes a loop. As I close loops, you close loops, and things start to gain a harmonic coherence, synergistic. You and I are connected in ways that are not seen through our stories, through our experiences, through what happens when you listen to my voice and your imagination kicks in, and how you're able to dive into others' stories and kind of live experiences with them, and we are all one. So, I mean, intention, breath, and movement. That is going to be the next step in your manifestation, is how do you move in this space that is a physical 3D representation of a thought coherent wave that comes from your diamond heart, as we're all connected through that diamond heart, and move in a way that brings you to more awareness, more integration, more synergy, and more and more and more, because it's an amplification code that I'm sending you of my awareness into your own awareness. And then you'll come together and hear other stories, because that's what I do and that's what you'll do, as we will start dreaming others' dreams and telling their stories. It is a collective resonant tone that happens when you are a carrier wave of my stories, and I go out and I find my other pieces and parts that make sense for me, and I tell their stories. And I got a ton of them. I've got amazing reflections around me, and we are synchronometers that tell others' stories and our own that make sense. And my stories are never of just myself. Well, maybe, well, no, they can't be. because it's always tapping into some kind of interconnected web that weaves us into a mandala, a tapestry of creation and creator, into this, you know, what do they call it? The caduceus, the snake that's biting itself. And that's not supposed to be a bad thing. It's when you're in a state of not being aware of that's what's going on. You know, you got to allow it to serve its purpose. And, you know, when you can turn that caduceus into a spiral dynamic and aim it at a 45 degree angle, now it's ever evolving and creating, and it gets itself out of the, you know, I'm going to eat myself every time, into this more harmonic, evolutionary type of a spiral dynamic. And it only comes when you are aware of yourself forwards and backwards and how you play the entire gamut of all experiences. And that's how you're going to gain your wisdom and knowledge, when you start to move in the places to find more stories. Go find more stories, go tell more stories, start sharing everyone else's stories and dreams, and show how it makes sense for you. And then others are going to see the same thing, and you're going to send out a resonant tone of it makes sense to me. And whether that other being is in a state of taking in that information or not, in the way that you deem fit, is not your problem. That's not your programming. You're supposed to allow others to be themselves and add their flavor to the mix. That's how you become a Baskin and Robbins type of a being, a multidimensional being, when you allow all these expressions to be. Part of this gets down why we're in a state of incoherency is the lack of awareness and acceptance of the other parts of ourselves. It's like a child that has created something that they just learned how to do. And it's not like the masterpiece Mozart, you know, symphony or Picasso or architectural, you know, levels of a master. It is at the rudimentary levels of a child, and they want attention. And so they'll come to you and show you their pile of incoherency that they're trying to put together and say, hey, please give me feedback. Let me know that my try has even just been a try. It has been an attempt to learn thyself and the way that thy creates, that the person or the being can start creating. And then it gets feedback from its reflections to say, and this is where, when you really get to know yourself, you can, you know, viscerally, intuitively start to feel and know what this interaction is all about, how your counterparts offer the other parts of yourself that make you a whole being. And, you know, this is where my practical spiritual advising comes in, my stories. And I offer my spaces for other stories to come in the mix. And this is the biggest thing that I can do for humanity and for my reflections now, is give everyone a voice. And the way that I do that is I have other people that offer those stages. I'm creating my own, but I want people to be aware that there are other stages being put out by my reflections that are wanting to do the same thing that I'm doing. And the more that we want to tell each other stories and offer these spaces, then those spaces become free for us to use and utilize, because others are saying, oh, that's my mission too, to give, you know, a decree of an experience out to this holographic matrix and put them on a microphone and let the sound waves be amplified and let more and more people hear the stories that brought us to the place that we are now, with seeing ourselves and understanding that there is a bigger play that's happening, and to put yourself in it is to put yourself in it. Like, you can't come in trying to tell, you know, hold on, let me rephrase that. Because I was going to say, you can't come in telling someone else a story. But what I'm meaning to say is, you can tell other stories and how your self integrates in it, but find yourself in it first, right? Or not first, but just find yourself in it. because you're all mixed in everyone else's story and put yourself in it. And that's where you're like, if you're going around spitting out books and knowledge, you know, or stuff that, you know, you've gathered from others' experiences without doing the putting yourself in it. That's again, that's where this gets back into when you put yourself there, that's the movement. That's the showing up for yourself. Again, we're in a physical suit right now, but the way to look at this is multidimensional. Your emotional body, your physical body, your breath body, your spiritual body, your, you know, all these different bodies that you carry, that you are embodying, bring them to the table and honor the way that you integrate with it by showing up for yourself. Then you're going to start to see that you have the stories that integrate you with the others. Because it, like for me, Amber and I won tickets to Sology Fest that was held by Todd Medina at Mulberry Mountain on 8/8, and each ticket costs $444. So add them up, that's 888 on 8/8, and day that we did an activation in Corpus Christi, Todd Medina, his hometown, and you know, it's his story wrapped into my story. And because we showed up, you know, that prompted us to go buy a fucking 32 foot 10 person travel trailer and bust our transmission down to the bottom of Mulberry Mountain and find some people that helped us out, you know, by getting us the whole story that involved other people and me and Amber and our children and Todd and all the other beings that were there and how we activated that place. And my friend, Yahweh, you can find her on SoundCloud, Y-A-W-E-I, Yahweh, DJ Yahweh. And, that's my friend Mary. She's amazing. And she just did an event up there for an ecstatic, DJ set, ecstatic dance DJ set, I think, or was it Yoga Flow? Fuck, man, I'm getting all mixed up. But anyway, she's doing all the things, and she was just there. You know, Mulberry Mountain, activating that. I don't know how many thousands of people showed up, but I know that was a big event, too. There's at least 3,000 to 5,000 people that showed up for that event. And, you know, we show up for ourselves, and, you know, part of the story is Amber and I, we made love there, and, you know, we do the thing in these sacred sites, and then other beings come in, and they get to, you know, put themselves in a place that Amber and I exploded bliss out into that entire space over the Ozarks that has unbroken crystal bedrock underneath us that's tapped into Arkansas, Missouri, Tennessee, and down over Oklahoma. And like, it's a whole big region of this crystal bed. And you can put, when you hold yourself to this very large multidimensional being, you can embed yourself with light and bliss in your movement, you know. And Amber and I, you know, hey, we're moving when we're making love, like we're breathing and we're doing the thing, right, that you want to do when you do the thing. And that it puts our heart into this very open, and where, you know, when you hold yourself to this esteem, you can program these crystals, because that's what they do, is, you know, as they're being formed and as they're sitting there, you can input information and experiences of bliss into these things. And that's why there's people dancing on these rocks and they don't even know why they're being drawn there by the thousands to freaking get it. And, you know, how many other people made love on that site during that thing? It was probably very intense. All the lovemaking that was happening, it was intense. Anyway, that's what festival sex is. It's intense. All right, we'll keep rolling with that. All right. Or it's in a 32-foot travel trailer. So our stories are our stories. And I mean, the best thing I ever did for myself was start showing up for myself and my creations, my children. And I believe I've said this before, but I got to hit it home. If you are a parent and your children are in a public school, private school, whatever it is, ask if they got a garden. See if the children's school has a garden. See if they're talking about sustainable and regenerative practices. See if they're doing breathing techniques and meditation. And if they're not, you know, go learn it, or just say, you know what, something I saw on YouTube and I could come in and do this, and I'm just a parent, that's my child right there. And, you know, I want to be a part of this thing with my children's friends and the teachers, and I want to inspire them and show up for yourself. These are your creations and you should be invested in that. And those are some of the things that I did. And, you know, I took action. I showed up. I knew my breath was important and I knew my intentions were very important, and who I, you know, regard myself as is also very important. And you're big. You have the power and the ability to shift it all just being one person. And, you know, I have information that I put out, and you go find me on infiniteyou.info. The website is going to be spruced up. We are going to have another website popping up that's going to be dedicated to setting the tone, festival.com. That should still be up for grabs. We should be purchasing the website domain name here real soon, and start really giving you the detailed information of what we're putting together to quantumly shift through our heart and through how we show up for each other in the biggest way, with two cosmic, you know, solar eclipses, a cosmic X that marks the spot. And I'm going to tell the story of how Amber and I are traveling up and down to connect all three of the solar eclipses from 2017 to 2024 and beyond. And, you know, with the Mayan prophecy and Sirian energy and Arcturian and Andromedan and Pleiadian, and how all this galactic and you know, our loved ones that have transitioned and phased into another space, that they're still helping us. And, you know, we're running some programs right now that are offering, excuse me, the most amplified beauty that a soul energy from the highest realms can send itself into a space that finds itself again, like a deep dark space, and being able to find yourself and your reflections and how you operate in this place is going to be a beautiful thing to do. So with that, I'm going to send y'all off and ponder all the beauty and magnificence and the bliss that you can bring into this space, that we are all co-creating and aligning. And just follow us on all the platforms, and we're going to put out some more stuff for you guys. Just stay tuned, and you can go ahead and unbuckle your five-point harness as you head out into the world with this new set of awareness of you are the one that has set yourself up for absolute success. So with that, I want you to love always and always. Peace.